Dave Moore on Today FM podcast.
I must first of all say congratulations on Eric. I adored this.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Without spoilers for my audience who wouldn't have seen it yet, I mean, can you give them the kind of the concept behind this show?
It's 1985 New York. You meet a kid walking through a puppet show that his dad is co-creator of and an operator of one of the lead characters called Bug, set in a fictionalized, idealized version of Central Park. And as the show unravels, you realize that that show is in crisis. Vincent, my character, is very much in crisis and has a pretty toxic relationship with the powers that be at work, and brings that toxicity to his co-workers, then by ignoring his child and being pretty toxic at home, creates the perfect storm in an already pretty wobbly relationship with two people living quite inauthentically with one another and their secrets and misbehavior. He's a very damaged human being, and it's from trauma. As the show unfolds, you realize that he came from a very loveless childhood and has mental health issues, which were dealt with pharmaceuticals and no love. And he spirals, and his son goes missing, and that's the chief reason why.
Yeah, and on the surface, it kind of seems like it might be a missing child type of thriller, but as you mentioned there in your brilliant synopsis of it, there's so much more. I mean, even the background in 1985 New York, homophobia, the AIDS epidemic, but then homelessness and the mental health issues you spoke about there. As an actor...
Addiction and...
Yeah.
God. Yes.
Sorry, I was going to say, as an actor, does having all of that surrounding the character of Vincent, is it a difficult thing to straddle then all of those things?
Not really. I mean, it is the most extraordinary piece of writing by Abby Morgan. She's written a fable, I guess, about... you know, reaping what we sowed in 1985, which makes it still worthwhile to experience as a viewer and as a artist trying to make it now, unfortunately, because it's really about failures of institution and what happens and who the victims are and what the cost of that failure is, which is children, the children inside of us and the inherited trauma that we then pass on to our children, and how both can get lost. And that failure is, whether it's in the domestic arena of a marriage or policing or city hall, a larger political sphere of corruption, but also all of the behavioral sort of symptoms of that failure. So the racism, the sexism, the violence, the greed, the fear that drives that greed. You know, it's all sadly very prevalent with us today, although in a different form, but the kind of death of the idealism of the 60s and 70s that lands us in the 80s, and the greed is good, Gordon Gekko of it all, is still very much with us.
Yeah.
And you see it played out in all its colours. And being 1985, that involves a lot of riotous stuff, which has a nostalgic kick, but it's peppered with a reality that was started then.
Completely.
There was great disco music.
There's lots of positives too.
Puppet show at the heart of it. And, you know, this is a show about redemption. This is basically a show about how people can try to do better, as Ada Perez brilliantly performs, Cecile says. We have to do better for our cities, for our children, for ourselves. Mm. And that's sort of what every character steps into, a more authentic version of themselves. LaDroit, who struggles internally with all the mask wearing he does and being exposed as a gay black man in a homophobic and racist police department, to Cassie and her story, without giving too much away of what's been going on inside of that marriage, and to Vincent and the trauma of his childhood and what his part is in Edgar's disappearance, blah blah blah. I know, so giving it away. We all carry these secrets, and I think all of us reach into who we are in a more generous and knowing and satisfying way, an authentic way, by the end. So hopefully, again, I can't allude to exactly how.
Sure.
It's a story of redemption.
It really is. And the puppet itself of Eric, which people will see, of course, if they even look at the trailer, it's such an amazing looking puppet. And what I loved about it was that nothing about it seemed overly CGI'd. It was just beautifully put together and used.
That's because none of it is CGI.
That's what's so great about it.
None of it. It's all of what you see is what was there. It's nothing is augmented. I think the only thing that's changed is, you know, the usual thing that film goes through, which is grading.
Yeah.
You know, there's a skyline or two of New York, which we added to some backlots in Budapest, or stuff that wasn't there or shouldn't have been there in 21st century New York when we did get there. So those are the only bits that I can recall are visually Augmented.
It was absolutely phenomenal. And if I might just digress briefly, but just to one of your performances in perhaps a similar thing, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, and your portrayal of Smaug to this day is one of my favourite things I've ever seen. And the physicality you put in, I've seen all the behind the scenes stuff, and I just think about that. It just pops in my mind every now and again and go, my God, Benedict really gave everything he had for that role.
Did. Well, yeah, it was a long way to go to not, really. Peter just wanted the voice, and I was like, oh, but I wanted to do the, you know, the Andy Serkis thing. Oh, he's not here. Well, we could do that if you wanted to. And I was I think I really do. All right, well, you come down and meet the folks at Weddell, we'll get you suited up. You know, just that really offhand casual, I'm Peter Jackson, but I'm just the guy thing that he is. Yeah. It's amazing to work for. And, you know, by the end, we'd done little bits, little episodic chunks of the whole scene. And he said, well, I think we've got it. And I said, can I do the whole thing? You want to do the whole thing? And I said, wow. Yeah, it's like it's a performance. It feels like it's an arc and I'm here and I'm not wasting thousands of people's time. There's just 20 guys behind me and a few girls and you, if you don't mind. And it was great. It was like doing a bit of theatre, like the one-man show to this audience. And they were very receptive. And, you know, I also wanted to do a good job because they gave me 2 weeks to do it. I got it done in 4 and then had a week and a half falling in love with New Zealand.
Wow.
Love affair that continued through Power of the Dog and my family being there, which is always what I wanted when I was there, experiencing it for the first time as a sort of adrenaline junkie singleton. I thought I have to bring the love of my life back, and I did with our children. So it was
fantastic. Back to Eric then briefly, just a word on the cast, because you've mentioned a couple of them there, but I mean, people like McKinley, Gabby and Ivan, who plays Edgar.
Just amazing.
Just properly amazing. And actually, I spotted Phoebe Nichols in there, who plays your mum. And I was trying to, where do I know her from? I mean, obviously she's done so much, but it occurred to me in I'm Alan Partridge series 2, one of my favorite shows of all time, she's Karen Coleman of Coleman Mustard fame, and that was the one that was gnawing at my brain.
That's an amazing deep dive. I thought you might go to the place where she's played my mum 3 times, which the casting didn't recognize, and I didn't have my EP hat on at the time. And to be honest, I'd never say no to working with her. And we have sort of instant pour and water rapport.
I cannot wait for my audience to see Eric Benedict Cumberbatch. Thank you so much for talking to me today, and best of luck with the show.
Welcome. Thanks very much for having me.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.